lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republica podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Motorsport Republica podcast, episode 118.
Back, baby.
We are back tonight. Ep, we are covering the Spanish Grand Prix, which all kicked off at the end, didn't it? So we're there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to unravel, I'm going to say.
Wild. And it's I'm heavily relying on your thoughts on Max Verstappen tonight. I really want to dig into what you think about this. I've got a few little bits that I think that maybe might surprise you in what I think of that situation. But
interesting.
I want to know the big dog Paolo Campagnotti T-Shav's thoughts. give him the chain.
Give him the chain. My thoughts on that, which we'll cover, have changed throughout the last 24 hours.
That's not an autistic trait, by the way.
No hyperfixation here. No hyperfixation. But yeah, it's an interesting one. And look, it's it was a crazy moment in the Grand Prix. Recent history, he has just gone. Just I'm going to say. He flicked the switch in a good way and a bad way in recent times, but we'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah, wild. It's all kicking off. Formula One's kicking off. Le Mans TT's on.
Yep. We got 24-hour Le Mans is in a couple of weeks. We've got Aragon this weekend. So as we always say on this podcast, it is an amazing time of year, these winter months for us. 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, 11 p.m. on a Sunday night when we've got F1 and GP. It's just glorious. So
glorious. It doesn't get any better if you're an Aussie. What's F1 in America? Do you know what time it is? It like 3 a.m. most rounds for Europe.
That's a great point.
For our American listeners,
it's 8 hours difference. I'm pretty sure, isn't it? But
depends where you are.
Drayson
well.
Silva's gonna have to send that in because it's 3 hours from the east to the west, isn't it? So it's a bit like Australia with Perth, I suppose. Similar situation.
Yeah. True. I don't think it's good for them no matter what, though.
No, I'm pretty sure it is a morning race, usually sort of 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really? That late? Yeah.
Depending where you are, yeah.
It's I've actually got a Americans on Fraud Watch this week, Tom.
Yeah.
We released our Indy 500 clip. A lot of backlash from the Americans. They can't take a joke. I'm very shocked, and like we're all about America. Like our fans know that we love America.
Yeah, I'm gonna say in their high school system, geography is probably not one of their strong suits.
Kept getting called Europeans. We're descendants of, I guess, criminal Europeans, but we're not European.
So yeah, that was good. But you know what, 100,000 views, so we're happy.
Yeah, it was very funny, and it's like, and then people like justifying it. Yeah, well, I drank 16 beers, but I walked 30,000 steps. I washed myself with a rag on a stick. It was so fucking... I was pissing myself
more I actually
laughing.
Look at those stats, I'm like, the more they're actually not that impressive because there's 380,000 that was there.
Well, people were saying that. And you could bring your own drinks in. Did you know that? You can bring your own beers in.
No way.
What event where you can bring your own beers in anymore? That's actually so cool that they still do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Even like... I'll give you a really the opposite side of the spectrum of that. No alcohol served in Spain for the F1s on the weekend, except you're in the corporate areas.
Yeah.
0-0 alcohol. Now, you can leave the track and there's heaps apparently bars outside the actual circuit. But yeah, 0-0 Heineken, that's all they serve. Yeah. And you see that at soccer stadiums as well. In England, they don't serve alcohol inside the venues anymore because people just go too crazy.
And they get obliterated at the pub beforehand.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Well, yeah, we do it a different way because we don't want to pay $11 for a mid strength. That's why we do it.
But, yeah.
Now, James, we wouldn't be here sitting here today if it wasn't for our fantastic partners.
Yeah, motorheaven.com.au. Get involved there. They just celebrated their 19th birthday. Always got some sales on. Check them out. They've got awesome. You never pay full price anywhere. That's their motto at Motor Heaven. You know, sales on showy helmets, Alpine Stars, all the big brands, all your parts and accessories there. They are the OGs. Ship anywhere in Australia and New Zealand. Super fast dispatch. Check out their Google reviews. They know how to do it. They know how to do it over there. And they've got some big things in the works and hopefully next couple months that we can release. So
cool.
Got some cool stuff there.
Stay tuned for that. Guys, socials popping off, really appreciate it. We're so close to 20,000 followers on Insta, and keep like and subscribing on YouTube. I mean, that's
get around the YouTube. We do heaps of stuff there, and our Patreon as well. We're filming our Patreon straight after this. Get onto our Patreon, subscribe.
Yes.
Then you get guaranteed hot takes and questions to us as well, read out, which is cool.
All right, let's start with Max. Because I want to hear your thoughts, first of all, on the incident. If anyone didn't watch it or was sitting under a rock, he got asked to give the position back last night when he didn't need to in the end. So it came out later in the...
So whose fault was that? The team's fault?
The team assumed that he was going to get a 5-second penalty. So they told him to give the position back. The FIA came out post-race and said, we weren't going to give you a penalty.
Why would they assume anything? That's a bit of a stupid thing.
Bad day for Red Bull. You don't ignite the lion either. They ignite the lion inside of Verstappen.
On an incredibly hot day in Barcelona.
Incredible hot
as well.
Day. He gave everything in that race, trying to get a different strategy in a much slower car. And yeah, it was rough because he had such a good race and there's no excuses. He shouldn't have done what he did. I mean, completely outbreak himself. Now, it wasn't intentional, was it not? I don't think we'll ever know. There's lots of talk going around today that, you know, he gave the position back and then just chucked it up the inside and wasn't, you know, wanting to make, you know, a collision, but it happened and it looked pretty much on purpose. But what are your thoughts on it?
It looked pretty much... Well, when I first watched it, funny enough, I thought he just got it all like out of shape. And he just went straight into him. Like, that's exactly what I thought. And then you rewatch it and you watch it from like George Russell's on board and he just looks like he just cleans him up. Now, he got a 10-second penalty out of all that.
He did.
Which I think, and surprisingly for my thoughts, I think if he did it on purpose, that's an automatic black flag. If you purposely take someone out, I think in any motorsport,
yeah,
no matter who you are, is an automatic black flag. So like just say a corresponding incident, the great Marquez Rossi kick, let's just say, whatever that was. Rossi got a grid penalty, back of the grid for the next race.
Yep.
So I think a 10-second penalty, if that's what he purposely did, is actually light. I think that's light work.
I think he was always going to argue that it wasn't on purpose.
Of course.
Of course. But I mean, the stewards have to judge that.
Can you, but surely, like, you can look at the data of what the driver does, throttle to brake, and yeah, how they drive that car, which is obviously all, you know, it's all there. I don't know if Red Bull has to give that over or they...
No, they can get all live data. Yeah, 100%.
So surely you'd be able to see, because
we can access live data if we want to.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah,
you can access throttle brake data.
Surely you'd be able to decipher what happened from that. They did that with Mav.
100%, but the thing is, he could just say, look, I accelerated to get back in front of him because I changed my mind mid giving the place back, yeah, and then just outbraked himself, rendered the side perfectly in the side of him, which, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Let me get to results first for everyone who wants to know that. So first, Oscar Piastri. I mean, we should be talking about him, shouldn't we? I mean,
the Aussie as well.
Had the seventh race win of his career and looking very good. So Lando Norris in second, Charles Leclerc in third, George Russell fourth, Nico Hülkenberg in fifth. Unbelievable result.
Amazing result.
Lewis Hamilton, very disappointing, sixth. Hadjar seventh.
That was good.
Gasly 8th, Fernando Alonso 9th, and Max Verstappen after his penalty 10th, securing just the one lonely point. So, look, my point of view is he's a hothead. He always has and always will be, and that's what makes him so crazy. You looked at, think 1997 Schumacher turning in on Villeneuve. That was on purpose. He got disqualified the whole season for that, going back to your point of being a lenient penalty. So, it's so expected from Max though these days. I mean, it's just, if that happened 3 years ago, shocking. Oh my God, crazy. But now it's like, Max will be Max. Boys will be boys. You know, Mad Max is the whole thing that's going over social media today. But I mean, first of all, Red Bull, terrible strategy. They put him on the hard tire. Now I know they didn't have any soft tires left. There's argue there that they probably shouldn't have pitted him. He had 7-lap old mediums. Should he have just stayed out? 7-lap old mediums may have been a better tire than a hard.
Well, it's Max Verstappen. If anyone's going to make something like that work, it's him in correct the grid, isn't it?
I don't know if he would have got past Lando because obviously Lando came into the pits. I'm not sure of the gap. I apologize for the people at home listening. But for me, that probably would have been the better strategy because he was just a sitting duck. And the problem is you put him in that position when he's such a good race. He's hot-headed. He's up and about. And then you've got a slower car and with a slow tire. It was just going to... It had the recipe of it just exploding, you know? So...
Well, you're right. Just to add on to that, like, It all started when they fitted the hards on, and he's like, guys, what's this?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? And he immediately was just pissed off from that. And then what was amazing, like those hards obviously take quite a few laps to get up the temperature. And when he stepped on that throttle going out of the last corner for the restart, where his whole car snapped, Charles did amazing just to even get around him. And like then he was, as you said, a sitting duck. And that's going to piss him off as well. Like, as you are, you're just a sitting duck. And
you are.
Like, I think if you're Red Bull, I would have put him on those, like, what was it, 7-lap-old mediums over the hards. Like,
well, stay on the same tyre.
Stay on the same tyre.
Or they had 6-lap-old softs that they used in qualifying, which it's an argument of what would have been better. But two bad calls from Red Bull in a row. You had the bad tyre choice, and then you told the driver to move over when he didn't need to.
Yeah, that's stupid. Why are they assuming? Who assumes in this sport?
It's incredible because the rule says you have to have your wheels in front at the apex of the corner. Russell was out of control, locked the front tire, made contact with Max.
Yeah.
Fair to go with Max just gunned it, went through the bollard, which you're supposed to do on that first turn, gunned it out of there, probably made time actually as well. And I think that might have changed the decision. Oh, he probably went a little bit faster in that first sector than he should have cutting the corner because you have to slow enough. So maybe they thought that was the case, but yeah, just a bad decision on their part. Usually Red Bull strategy is perfect. I mean, trying the 3-stop today, it was exciting. For me, I came into work today, as I always talk about, and we have the... I'm not going to say they're the Drive to Survive fans. The fans have only watched them the last few seasons, which is fine. There's nothing against that. But they're like, oh, a bit boring of a race.
Nah, a bit boring of a race.
I'm like, no, it wasn't a boring race. It was a 2-3 stopper. You had Max coming back through the field. If it wasn't that safety car, it would have made it really interesting. I know Max pitted early and he wouldn't have gone anywhere near Lando. But the whole race was, well, what's going to happen? When usually you go one stop, one's going to go for the undercut, one's going to go for the overcut, that's it, and the race is over. It was a really interesting race.
100%, and I actually wrote a note on this before shit hit the fan, and I was like, it's the race of ifs and... it was a race of ifs and buts and maybes.
Yeah.
Like, you just didn't know what was going to happen.
That's all you need.
It just kept you in. It just absolutely kept you on the hook. And then it's just like everything exploded when Antonelli went off in the safety car.
Including his engine. Three Mercedes engine failures in the last 3 weekends.
Wild, man.
Which is rare, first of all, because we're at the end of this engine formula after they've had years and years to develop it. And obviously they're pushing so hard for that extra time that it's pushing the limits on the engine.
I don't see it with F1.
It rare now these days. I mean, there used to be back in the day these spectacular engine failures. You know, the whole sky was full of just white smoke.
Probably giving everyone cancer in the stands.
Yeah, probably. No, there'll be something out in 10 years' time. There'll be something out because of that. And then, yeah, you just don't see it in this current engine formula. So I think we're going to next season with these new rules that, from all reports, they're struggling to get pace in these engines and these cars. So they're going to be very, very slow in the first year,
that's
which
right.
We don't mind. It's not about how fast, it's how exciting it is.
Yeah.
And the racing is so quick now. I mean, they're the fastest they've ever been. Races are going quicker. I felt like last night went so quickly. I mean, I think it was still an hour and 35, hour and 40 race with a safety car.
Mm.
But like it was an hour 40, hour 50 races all the time when I was growing up because the cars were slower. So that's an interesting point. But going back to Max, there's no excuse. I'm trying to find an excuse for him, but at the end of the day, even if it wasn't on purpose, he shouldn't have then disobeyed the rules and gone back up the inside. It's almost like he let Russell through and goes, oh, no, fuck this.
Yeah,
It's exactly how I felt. He goes, nah, fuck this. I'm going, nah. And then he's lost his brakes and then ran into the side. Do I think he absolutely purposely did it? No, I don't. Yeah. But he was dumb enough to do it and he has to pay the consequences.
I love it though. I love the theater of it. Yeah, I've made no secret. I love aggressive riders and drivers. I think it's great. Like, it was so funny. And kind of out of all this, I was reading the comments this morning just to see what people were saying. And George Russell comes out and says, would you just think of the children? Think of the children and what kind of impression this is making. And Ella comments is like, what a fucking pussy.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this in the car this morning. And I said, Max came out and said, well, I'll bring the tissues.
Yeah, God, what a just like a difference in personalities.
But yeah, I mean, you look at Max's upbringing; he wouldn't have. There'd be no sympathy back then, That's how Jos would have raised him. It would be get off your ass, go do it. No, there's no well done's. There's no trying to sympathize with you. It's just like, go and get the job done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
do and what by any means. And that's how he's in his brain. And it's a similar to the champions over the years, as we touched on with Schumacher and Senna back in the day. They're just ruthless. And that's why they're multiple world champions.
Yep.
So unfortunately, that's in the top sport performers, it's very hard to find, apart from probably a Roger Federer, who's who's shown perfect amount of teamwork and respect over the years to everywhere and whatever else of their peers.
Gracious in defeat.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, Max will always be Max. Red Bull let him down and then he repaid the favor. But I think that's championship over now for him. I mean, he's already in a slower car. We've had the new rules. They did absolutely nothing with his flexi wing. They spent all this money on bringing this. And you know what? Hamilton came out and said, like, this was useless. We should have just donated this money to charity, which is kind of, a bit pussy. But, in saying that, you sort of go, well, yeah, it was kind of stupid. They made this machine that put enough weight on these wings so they could test them all and nothing came out of it.
So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So, I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom. But that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
I think arguably...
It's unlike Formula One, bro. It's like a MotoGP thing to happen.
Arguably, the McLarens look, even further away. And yeah, look, and
better on tyres.
Oh, way better on tyres. And the thing is, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. That is a car and chassis circuit.
Yeah, Martin Brundle said... It's a car circuit, not a driver's circuit.
Yes.
Where Monaco is like the opposite.
Yeah, Nico Rosberg, I think, said that, yeah. Rosberg, what did you think of his commentary?
I think he's all right.
He's...
Everyone loved him.
He's straight to the point. So Crofty's trying to, guys, this can happen, all exciting. And Rosberg said, no, that won't happen.
Well, it's like when we spoke to Gavin Emmett, it's like you got to build a story.
Yes.
Even if you know it's probably not going to happen, you got to build the story, which I actually don't mind having either take on the mic.
Yeah, it was quite funny because even in qualifying, there was a situation where Piastri put in his fastest lap and Norris was behind him trying to get his slipstream. And then Piastri took right to the right side of the track, slammed the brakes on, and goes, oh, he's cheeky. And Crofty's like, oh, he got some of the slipstream. Rosberg's like, no, he didn't. Yeah. No, he didn't.
And then, like, normally, like, I know Lando, like, fluffed a couple of his lines in Collie, which he always does, but anyway. And then, like, normally a commentator would be like, oh, he can make up time. And then he's just like, nah, he's done. Laps, he's done. Yeah, gone. Yeah, yeah. His lap was gone second corner in.
Yeah. Which is refreshing. It's kind of refreshing, but you wouldn't want that every weekend because you want that. I mean, you
got to build the hype. Yeah. But I think having the mixture wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, I did. He's better than some, definitely. And having that, like the safety car came out and Rosberg's like, oh, this is where they have time to, they can actually release the belts. The
belts, yeah.
Yeah,
like their shoulders and everything.
They can breathe properly. They can have a drink. Like, you don't think about this stuff.
It's good having those type of insights and an insight on a very recent driver.
Yes, 100%. He's driven these cars pretty much. He's driven these cars. So, that was really cool for me.
I didn't mind it. It actually grew more and more. As kind of the day went on, funny enough, talking about that, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I actually didn't mind that insight. It was really good to have.
Yeah, and then he compared the incident, obviously, to to Rossi and Marquez.
Oh, did he? Oh, like the same.
At the end of the race. I actually shared it on our page today, Jamesy.
Nice.
So it was quite funny. He goes, it was similar. But that was a different scenario because I don't think Rossi wasn't letting Marquez through. They just didn't. No one wanted to lead that. I can't even talk about this incident.
This is ridiculous. I was about to say, how the fuck are we back here? It's Groundhog Day.
Sepsi's like peeking.
He's like, what are you saying about my God, Rossi? The Italians are like the dumb Americans in the Indy 500 having a go at us. Seriously. Go on.
Well, I want to talk about Hamilton. I think it's done. I think it's an end of an era.
Oh, bro, I think so. Well, the Ferrari's obviously not up to it. Charles is doing pretty good, but he's still not taking the championship by the horns, obviously.
This guy is supposed to be the best ever. You know, the best ever. Oh, my God. He's the GOAT. He's the number one. And he's just shown that he's not.
He's past it. But doesn't mean he's not one of the greats.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he's come into this car. He's still young enough, fit enough to drive these cars. And he is consistently 2, 3, 4 tenths off chart.
Yeah, I think he's gone over the hump.
So,
and I think mentally, he's probably, like, he doesn't seem up for it with Ferrari. And I got a note for here. It seems like Hamilton has no trust with Ferrari.
It seems like that. And I think the other thing, he came out today and I think Natalie Pinkham was asking him a question and we shared this as well. And he was like, she's like, oh, well, hopefully Ferrari can change things for you. He's like, it's not the car. It's me. I'm slow. Like I'm like,
oh, really?
Came out and said that on post race. Now things can be said post race when, you know, the heat of the moment, that sort of thing. But you know, sometimes deep down, that's what they're really thinking. So, you know, I stick to my call that I said early in the year. I think this is a bit of his last year. I think he should call it early. I think he should have a farewell tour and enjoy the rest of the season because I don't think Ferrari need this negativity going into the, you know, new season with these new regulations as well. The only thing that will make him stick around is the new regulations. If there was the same regs going into next year, it would have already been announced.
What about a fat paycheck?
Yeah, but I think he's... true. Yeah, I know. It is about... But he's got... He would have that much... He's been paid $90 million a year for the past, I'm going to say, probably 8 years. Like, so it's not like... $12 million for Fabio Quartararo is crazy, but Fabio Quartararo would have 6 years of riding for the same amount as his 1 year. I mean, that's how much money this guy's getting paid. All the endorsements as well that goes with it. I mean, that's just the contract with...
It's the ego as well. It's like, look, there's so many greats, man. I could name, like, Valentino Rossi went for too long, but they just can't give it up. Johnny Ray right now in World Superbikes, like, bro, like, he's, like, it's, and Hamilton's just, like, one on steroids.
Yeah, I think...
Who takes his place?
At Ferrari?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think they might have to go youth. I think they have to think about youth going forward. I mean, you look at the Sauber and Hülkenberg outperforming the car massively. But, you know, they need that. Like, Bortoleto showing signs. He had a really good qualifying session. But there's the X factor. I mean, we always talk about the X factor. And Bortoleto went backwards through the race. Hülkenberg came through the field. The car's got some sort of potential and he's not, you know, showing that yet. So
we've got a really good question on this in our Patreon as a hot take. There's a very, very good question on Ferrari.
Okay.
And I'd really like to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I actually submitted my own hot take this week, which I'm going to read out, which I won't read out just yet. So, now the other big story coming out of post-race, I'm going to say, is Lance Stroll.
With his weird gay surgery?
So...
Has he done a chantra?
No, James, you're going to piss yourself laughing at this. He's post-qualifying, come out of the car, punched the wall.
No.
Yep. He's come out swearing.
That's white guy behavior right there.
Come out swearing. I don't know about that. I come out swearing, abusing the now allegedly. Beautiful. Fox Sports shared though, so good some word. Sort of source.
Can't come at us now when you say that.
Correct. So he's come out outburst to the team, smashed the wall, re-injured his wrist that he injured last year.
How reinforced are these walls?
And is going to, you know, go for surgery and miss the next Grand Prix. Now, that is big news in itself. And If true, unbelievable. It gives someone a chance, though. Now, the only issue is in 2 weeks' time, the Canadian Grand Prix falls on the same weekend as Le Mans 24 Hour.
Oh, yeah. So, like, all those drivers, all the reserve
drivers,
up.
All everyone's going to be at Le Mans. Now, Drogovic is their main reserve driver. He's racing for Cadillac.
Yeah.
In the Le Mans 24 Hour, which is in the hyperclass, has a chance of winning. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's come out and said, "No, I will not race Le Mans. I want that one shot that I might get."
Wouldn't you? Of course, you'd take that.
Of course, but thinking today, I'm thinking he's got the chance of winning Le Mans, okay, or he's got a chance of racing one weekend Formula One. That shows you how much of a pinnacle Formula One is.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Because they're going to go, no, I couldn't care less. He's come out like within 6 hours, not even thought about it, and go, if they need me, I'll be in Canada.
Yeah.
So that's a massive difference between the sport and how much of a pinnacle and on a pedestal Formula One is.
100%. Couldn't agree more with that. And like, imagine, okay, you're like, damn, I'm going to choose Le Mans 24 Hour. Your car shits itself in the first 45 100%. Minutes.
Yeah,
you
know,
which happens.
But this other thing is,
all get taken out.
Le Mans is once a year. There's 24 races. But again, he's not going to have a chance.
Especially with Stroll in there. He's got the unlimited contract.
He's correct. Correct.
The unlimmy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I said, we got my big boss's son works in finance. And I always say to me, I said,
Jerry.
Nathan, I was like, you got the Lance Stroll contract that he can never fly.
He should be punching holes at his work as
we
well.
We all got a ream at work today. I said, mate, the difference between you and me is you'll still get a ream when you go home. I'm not. I'm going home. Hilarious.
That's so good. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a report coming out. Fox Sports shared. So there's some sort of, you know, credible source there.
We've done this now for a couple of years. And it seems like in any of this paddock information where there's smoke, there's fire.
100%. I mean, there's a little rumor somewhere. It's come from some... unless you're David Shaw on Facebook looking at the Dutch media...
at AI.
Yeah. Which is all AI generated. That's when it's not. But if it's shared by a credible source, your Autosports, your Fox Sports Australia, that sort of thing, there's got to be some sort of source to the River Nile, you know what I mean?
For sure. Even Marinello on our last pod with the bros, he said like they mostly hit.
Yeah.
Most of these kind of hit.
Yep. Yeah, they do. I do. And there's just a whisper somewhere. I mean, it's amazing.
And everyone talks.
Who broke that? And we're going to get on this later, but who broke that news for Martin in that close circle of Aprilia head honchos? Who would have spoken to who? And then, it's gone. Out. Everyone can hear.
Should have tied all their hands behind their backs.
But that's the thing is with us, you know, we consider ourselves media. And I know that some people wouldn't say some things to us because we know we're going to talk about it. And it's
how many times have we had to do a pod and not say something?
Yeah, it's
actually more
and cut things out sometimes. Yeah. Like you know, it is a big thing. We gave a helmet once to a rider and we went, you know, they're all contracted. They're not the right brand. It's you know, they go crazy. So it's amazing that you know this day and age there still be friends in the paddock. I might be Tom Shaver. This is James Shaw, and we're best mates. He's a reporter. I run a team. We might have a casual conversation. And from that casual conversation, it could get out and anything could happen. You just don't know.
Oh, yeah. It could have been Aleix Espargaró, Jorge Martin. Could have told his missus. Missus told this person. Yes. Bang, out.
It's just like Chinese. Well, this isn't Chinese whispers because it's pretty accurate. But
Spanish whispers.
But how's... yeah, I mean, we'll get on to Martin later. But yeah.
Bro, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What's going on with Yuki Tsunoda and Red Bull?
Okay, so
because I didn't want to tell Danby I told you so, but I told you so.
Well, what was so unbelievable about that P20 in qualifying? So he's slowest on the grid.
Did you start from pit lane?
Well, when you're last on the grid, they probably would have changed some things anyway. Maybe put a new box in it. Yeah. Maybe a new new engine something. So they started from pit lane probably to keep him out of trouble as well.
Because you know, like getting in trouble.
Yeah, kamikaze style.
Straight
sort of
into turn one. And chicane turn one always causes trouble, which I will get into this later, but remind me to talk about this. I hate how you can cut through that part in Barcelona.
What's funny, because Barcelona is just a sand trap city everywhere else, except turn one.
It's bullshit. Make them all go through that. Make them all go through there. Why are you giving them an out? Yeah. Look at Imola and Gasly went motocrossing. He didn't do that again.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's ridiculous. Fucking grass it. Whatever you got to do. Put some whoops in there. Some sand whoops.
There needs to be a...
have accountability. They are the pinnacle, the world's best drivers. Surely they can make that work. And if that doesn't, then they'll learn for next year.
If anyone's listening to this podcast, James' eyes just popped out of his head. Bro. In anger.
Bro, I was in the city on the weekends and I saw a blind guy's eyes. He was walking around with like a cane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They normally have sunglasses on like Ray Charles or whoever it is. Or Stevie Wonder. He didn't. His eyes were popped out of his head, glowing red. Freaked me out, man. Scared
nightmares?
Me. I always have nightmares, mate.
That's like Travis Pastrana. You're holding too much in, bro.
The night terrors. That's a crazy story if anyone listens to it that. It is.
No excuses this time because traffic didn't really affect him.
You did say that.
Tires had plenty of tire. Just skill. And
it's got to be. Something has to be with this car.
Even Colapinto Pinto couldn't get a second run. His car blew up in the pit lane. He moved aside. Sonoda still had another shot. Even just getting it off the back of the grid and still didn't put a faster lap in.
Okay, so
now, look, correct me if I'm wrong at home, but I rewatched it, qualifying, looked at the results. He had a flawless run in qualifying and still could not get someone
will make
20.
Someone will make an excuse for him. There'll be banana peels on the track or something.
Yeah, any publicity is good publicity.
But okay, I don't think Sonoda's a P20 driver. I don't think that at all. He's not last place.
No, not last place.
But
no.
He's better. He's definitely better than that. But what is... Okay. I think we already know what this is. I'm already answering this question. It's the Repsol Honda, this thing. It's only Max can drive his car. It's built for him. Is this what it is?
Yeah, it's a...
Because everyone comes... Everyone's dancing around
this. It's almost like a Ducati 2008 Stoner. And
yeah.
We're sitting... James and I are sitting at Turn 12, Phillip Island, and I'm slowly getting into MotoGP, and I think Stoner's in front by, oh, I don't know, 12 seconds, 13 seconds. And then his teammate,
Marco Melandri,
who is a race winner in Phillip Island, is last place off the back. And I'm like, James, how does this happen? Like, this doesn't make sense. They've got the same bike. How are they like 45 seconds apart at a 40-minute race? And he goes, he's just not gelling with the bike where Casey can. So, yes, it's just different driving techniques, but they're going to have to do something, man, because Verstappen, if we like it or not, it's not going to be around there forever. And he can flip it like that. As we saw, flick a switch, he can go. And they've got nobody. They really have no one.
Bro, that's like, this is like, we're just watching Repsol Honda right now with Mark Marquez. It is the exact same situation.
It is.
And then once Marquez left, they were in the doldrums for, quite a few years.
How good is Max, though?
Yeah, amazing.
But like, how good must he be to drive around this car?
Definitely. And I also think they've built this car specifically for him, where no one else can drive. Like, don't they talk about how it's like very fine, like fine, minute movements? Yeah. That's why no one else can adapt to it. It's only for him. But that has, and then you look at the success of Ducati, and the success of Ducati is everyone can drive that car, ride that bike.
Yes.
And then it's even more successful than anything else. But getting back to Sonoda, he's not a P20 driver.
No.
But there needs to be a bridge for this gap, because it's whatever this is, it's not working. And churning through replacement drivers clearly isn't working. They've gone through like 8 of them. They got to sort their shit out.
Well, I was saying today that they should probably run 3 Visa
B carbs
because Hadjar's finishing.
He's doing amazing.
He's like top 8. He's reminding me of Charles Leclerc's first season with Sauber back in when he was finishing 5th and 6th and crazy results. He's doing such a good job and very underrated. I really like the way he's doing, how he's performs in the media. He talks the talk, walks the walk. Not arrogant. He will be in that car next year, I think, if Sonoda can't perform. Right,
but you almost don't want him to be. Well, I feel like you're set up for failure in that car.
Imagine if they go, Isaac, got your brand new Red Bull factory contract. No, I want to stay in this car.
Well, maybe.
I have a prediction for next year. I think Red Bull and let's call them, I don't know what they're going to be called. Let's call them AlphaTauri, Toro Rosso, V-Carb. I think they're going to be super slow. We're going into new regs and they've got a Ford engine. Like, I think, again, Mercedes are going to come out and nail these regulations. And anyone who's got a Mercedes engine is going to be going very, very nicely, which is your Alpine. They're going to go to Mercedes engines, which you spoke about, and obviously the factory Mercedes team. I think that's going to be a very, very interesting start to the year. I think they are going to be very slow because the report's coming out that Ford, being a new engine manufacturer to this formula, such a complicated engine as well, such a complicated engine. We're not racing in ovals here at full speed. We're
bolting the Fiesta, mate. Bolton the Eco Boost. Yeah, get the Eco Boost going. This and Leaf.
I mean, they've got technology out of World Endurance, but I just don't see them performing next year.
Mm.
And imagine the dummy spits we're going to see from Max when they're qualifying 14th, 15th. I might be wrong, but that's my feeling. And I think a lot of people would agree with me at home.
Yeah, who knows? We're gonna find out anyway.
Yeah. I've got grave fears of the next couple of years of F1, to be honest. I think it's going to be a very big struggle the first couple of years of these new regulations. But I hope I'm wrong.
For like the type of racing?
I think the type of racing. I think there's going to be manufacturers out there like the Mercedes that's just going to blitz and be out in front. But we'll...
Again?
Well, yeah. And then obviously...
German, bro. They don't know how to do it.
Yeah. And we'll see what McLaren can do as well. So they're all going to have Mercedes engines.
What do you think, like talking about Tsunoda, bro, people are already asking for his head, like they're already talking about putting Hadjer in, like it's craziness.
Oh, you can't do that. You got to stick with him now.
Yeah, 100%. But what Jensen Button came out in the week and said, there should be a rule saying that you cannot change driver during the season, which I don't think will ever happen, but I think that's what should happen.
Low T, I think, from Jensen, unfortunately. I haven't brought that out for a while, but no, of course you can. If he's not performing, get rid of him. Simple as that. It's a pinnacle of F1. You just touched on it, Jim.
You don't give them a year.
No. It's a pinnacle. Like, the thing is, James, we talk about this all the time. Constructors' Championship is the most important thing to them. That's where they get paid. So, if the Tsunoda is not finishing the points and he's going to be qualifying 20th, you've got to try something different because you have to get points.
I disagree. I think if you've signed that driver, you at least give him the year.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Max Verstappen would have never had a chance in that Red Bull all those years ago and won on debut in Barcelona, which was crazy. Now, in saying that, Mercedes both took each other out, so he had some luck, but...
I'm just saying, yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's just... I think you should just see out a contract. Call me old-fashioned. Call me old-fashioned, but I think you should see out a contract. I think it's ridiculous, all this talk. I think it's bullshit.
For any driver... It's like the Jack Doohan effect. I mean, Colapinto's shown absolutely nothing. What has that got, LP? Nothing.
Bro, same... Like, I know Lawson isn't booted out of the paddock, but they've swapped drivers around. Like, I just think it's crazy. Like, I think it's a bit of a farce.
You know, this is very unusual.
It's laughable, though.
You know, it's very unusual for Formula One. That never really happens.
True.
The last time it's happened is probably Verstappen going in for Danny Kvyat.
But it's still laughable, man. Maybe it hasn't happened, but what happens if it keeps happening?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want the paddock to be a revolving door. You need some type of structure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with them changing around, to be honest. I think because you got the junior teams now coming through, like... I mean, you have Sauber and Ferrari have that partnership, you know.
I don't like it. I think, you know, you can get an upgrade in the car and then everything changes.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Piastri went to Alpine. Do you think he's winning races?
No, definitely not.
You know?
No.
And they might have booted him.
No, definitely not. But, I mean, as we just touched on, you can't even... I mean, Red Bull's such a unique argument because we know that car is just so set around Max. We know that. Everyone knows that. Max can drive around whatever the issue it is or find minute margin in the car to make it work. Now, he makes it work, you know, 99% of the time, which is incredible. But you look at like a team like Williams, like they showed so much promise at the start of the season. I mean, not the first race, but so much promise since then.
Yeah, like the first 5-6 races.
But and they've come out and they had a terrible weekend. I mean, I'm going to say Albon's whole weekend was one of the worst weekends I've seen. They had to retire him because they ran out of front wings. They ran out of front wings, James Shaw. Okay? That's incredible. I mean, we know Williams struggled with their spare parts over the years. We've seen that. They couldn't race at one point because they didn't have enough spares. But
buddy last place was so run out of wings. His buddy Outback Steakhouse, mate.
That's a meme. But for me, like, he qualified terribly. Goodness. He had two ridiculous incidents. Turn one was probably not his fault, but like Lawson had every right to be in that point at the track you just got to be smarter, Albon. Sainz, it was sad to see for the Spanish two drivers. You had Alonso and Sainz obviously out. Like, they were 16th and 17th at one point. Alonso came back through the field with the new tires, finished ninth, which was good. But
old dog.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it's. Yeah, it's just a really disappointing. Now, what they've come out and actually said, my point being, is they haven't designed the car around Spain. Spain is the testing circuit of all testing circuits. There's not a whole lot of circuits like that. Now, yes, back in the day there was, but now you have pretty much, I'm going to say 60% of the weekends are now street circuits.
Yeah, definitely.
So they've designed their car around more of that style of and start, you know, bumpier track, softer suspension, that sort of thing. So it's so interesting how the new car generation coming through is they're getting designed around streets rather than street rather than circuits.
Yeah, yeah. Traditional Grand Prix circuits.
Traditional, because they're disappearing. I mean, Barcelona is saying that could be the last event because the Madrid street circuit's coming next year.
That wouldn't surprise me because like it almost seemed weird seeing them. It did seem weird drive around like a Grand Prix circuit like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're almost too fast. They're doing like, what, a minute 10s
there? We talked about this. I mean, a minute 10s was the qualifying and then they're doing minute 14s in the race, which is so fast. Like
so
you think,
quick, man.
Like it's not a small track. I mean, I looked at the MotoGP times. They're like minute 40, minute 42s, I think they were doing it in. So 30 seconds faster. I mean, they make up... they're flat in qualifying through those last two corners, which is just insane. Yeah.
So, like, it seems like the perfect Formula One track is you need to have, like, a 1.5 kilometer straight.
Yeah, I mean, there's... but, yeah, you're right. I mean, the...
And, like, traditional Grand Prix tracks don't have that.
They don't have
like,
that.
Like, you know, Spa kind of works, and you're never going to get rid of it. I don't think you should ever get rid of that. I think it's the greatest track of all time.
But the thing is, with Spa nowadays, it actually is a 1.5 kilometer track straight, because they don't break in Eau Rouge anymore.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty much from that first turn to that corner, they're just flat out getting the slipstream.
Yeah.
And that's why it works.
Yeah. Yeah, you need that, because that's where obviously a lot of the overtaking is going to go. Like, look at the straight in Azerbaijan. Mm. Huge.
Yeah, massive. And even the back straight's huge as well.
Yeah.
So,
they definitely need that, where, like, you know, something like Barcelona. It was a great race, but it's just, you know, I don't think it works.
There's a lot more passing in the last couple of years than there has been. Removing that chicane out of the way was the best thing they've done. Because back in the day, it was like that, and it was spectacular. So.
I think the first year Barca was on and we did the pod, I think there was either zero or one overtake in that race.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
It was terrible to watch.
Disgusting. And they actually, they went to the chicane because Louis Salom died, didn't he, in that last turn?
One of the riders died. I don't know if it was Salom. It could have been Salom.
And then they both the MotoGP and F1 went to the chicane. And then MotoGP years ago went back to that double right-hander. I'm like, why isn't F1 going to that? And they eventually did. And then the even more confusing part, F1 then went to the full MotoGP circuit, which is that after the back straight, you have more of a sweeping left-hander. And then MotoGP's gone back to like that square bit in there.
Which is shit ass.
I know, it was way better before. It's like, I don't know. It's like they got a contract that they have to like run both the tracks or something.
Would surprise
someone me. Owns that little bit of tarmac or something. Has to be run on.
But they like messed up the contract and gave Formula One and MotoGP the wrong one. Lost in translation, Spanish. They call that.
Spanish. Can't help. But it's... but yeah, going back to Williams, I mean, they had a shocker. Albon, he had an absolutely terrible weekend, one to forget, unfortunately. So, back to Rosberg, we touched on it earlier, his commentary. It was a really interesting comment he made about that 2016 incident when he collided with Hamilton.
Mm.
So, I didn't know this, that they actually looked at his data.
Oh, there
Hamilton,
you go.
Hamilton's data.
How good is this? It's like a full circle right
so,
here.
So, Hamilton's data was obviously Rosberg was in the wrong engine setting. That's why he was so slow and Hamilton was kind of come up the inside. He blocked the inside, but Hamilton continued on the grass. Naturally, when you hit the grass, you think, oh, you'd probably lift. It actually showed that Hamilton went to full throttle when he was on the grass.
Yeah, right.
So, it was like, you're either going to, we're going down together or nothing.
Yeah,
and like, it was such an interesting take from that year because they were best friends leading up to them being teammates in the Mercedes. And that first year in Mercedes, obviously, Hamilton won. Second year, Rosberg got really unlucky in the second half of the year and Hamilton won again and the relationship just soured completely. They weren't talking at all. They actually had to, some weekends, switch mechanics because the mechanics were keeping data from the other mechanics. So Toto Wolff came out and said, well, okay, you're going to work on his car, you're going to work on his car.
Oh, my God.
Like, it got to that point where it was, like, so toxic. And I think they've...
Rekindled?
Not rekindled, I don't think.
Jesus.
I think... And they were best friends growing up. Like, their families are best friends. They go-karted together, everything. They were, like, close as. And it goes back to what we talked about with these, you know, the Schumachers, the, you know, Verstappens. They're emotionally just crazy sometimes, aren't they?
Well, they're just going to win at no cost. Yeah. Like, no costs.
And, yeah, I mean, there's a stat out, and I don't remember the ins and outs, but I think Hamilton was three races behind being a 10-time world champion. He went into the gravel in 07 in his first year. If he didn't do that, he would have been world champion. He crashed in Barcelona in 2012 in McLaren. If he didn't do that, he would have been world champion. 2016, if his engine didn't blow up or he didn't crash in Barcelona, he would have been world champion. And then 2021 when Verstappen passed him. So he's three races behind being an 11-time world champion, something crazy like that.
That's crazy. But like this, them, it's just interesting how they kind of haven't rekindled even after one of them's retired. Like you look at Senna and Prost, hated each other.
Yeah.
And then he was a pallbearer at his wedding. I'm not saying funeral. And I'm not saying, you know, you have to be best mates, but like, there's got to be respect there, and there probably is, let's be honest.
There's respect there. And I think Rosberg, he never speaks ill of it. He's always positive, and he always goes, come on, like, Hamilton, you can do it. Like, he's... that sounded weird. But like, you know, he's...
I don't think you've ever said those words in your life.
Come on, Hamilton, like, we can do it. He's not like that, but like...
I just went full rainbow for a second. I did.
What the hell happened just there? Just had a brain aneurysm. But he's, like, really positive and got how good he is, you know? But the thing is with Rosberg, I think deep down he goes, yeah, he's... He keeps saying to himself, yeah, Hamilton's the best ever. He's like, yeah, because I beat him in 2016 and retired, you know? Yeah. Talk about retired on top. We're going to be talking about that in hot takes because that was my hot take about retiring on top.
Yeah, is
a big. Oscar Piastri going back to qualifying. Biggest margin of the year qualifying time.
How have we not spoken about Oscar Piastri yet?
I know. It's unbelievable. He came out and, again, you talked about that. Couple of mistakes from Lando in the qualifying lap.
More than a couple.
Standard procedure for him now.
Just overdriving. Completely overdriving. That's all it was.
Yeah, it seems that way. It happens on the second run of Q3 every single week now. And he's got to just nail that. He's always going to be on the back foot if you're starting second. Especially in Barcelona, because that run to the first corner is... P3 and P4 have a great slipstream always. So, and you saw that on the
weekend. And you're on the dirtier side of the track.
Correct. That's correct. So yeah, for me, Oscar is back on steady ground. He had a couple of rough weekends. 10 points ahead in the World Drivers Championship. So yeah.
It's still game on though. Oh, it's game God, on. So yeah. Game on.
But it's similar. It has a similar feel to that 2016 season between Hamilton and Rosberg. So it's going to be a very, very interesting second half of the season. And the massive, massive support coming from Australia. I think everyone's getting around him as well.
Yeah.
Which at the start of the season, he had that personality where it wasn't like, you know, wearing your heart on the sleeve sort of thing. But now I think everyone's like understands him, gets him, including myself. And they're like, yeah, this guy's cool. Howie does a great podcast, Howie's Games. And I listened to Oscar Piastri's. He's really, really good insight.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, God, he's just a dork, but like a lovable dork, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was saying this, I think, even last year, how he's a bit of a dork, but he's going to get fans from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's just himself and doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's funny. Like he's in the cool down room last night and he's like asking, he was like a little kid asking like Leclerc, oh yeah, how did you go on the tires? Was the balance? And then Leclerc's like, yeah, how was your balance? He goes, oh, my balance is the same from the start to the end. Like it was just like, oh, so much autism, but it was good.
Bro, fast autism, that's what you call
fast
it.
Fast autism. And special shout out again. I'm going to go back to Rosberg and Simon Lazenby. They did the grid walk. Terrible. Yeah. They actually tried to interview the English soccer team.
I saw that.
And Saka, who's apparently, I've never heard of the guy, but yeah, he looked like he was a deer in headlights. He's like, nah, bro, I don't want to be interviewed.
If you go
onto the grid, you have to like be interviewed. That's the thing. Like,
but they didn't pressure him. Where like Brundle would like grab him by the scruff on that. You get here, boy.
And someone's like, you're okay, and then ran away. It was so funny.
He did.
It just shows you how hard it is for like it is a hard gig to do that. I'd really struggle to do that. Really,
bro, how intimidating would it be?
Because the thing is that Saki or whatever the little fella's name was, he would have no idea who that guy is. He wouldn't even know what like.
He wouldn't know where he was. He would have just got dropped there by in a plane, and he would have just opened his eyes up, deer in the headlights, and think, "Where the fuck am I?"
He doesn't want to be there.
No, he doesn't want to be there. It was hot.
Yeah.
And then you got some Norwegian guy coming up to him, going wherever he's finished or some shit.
No, Rosberg's German.
Same.
That was more Lazenby though. Was talking to him.
Like he didn't want a bar of it.
No, he didn't.
He needed Brundle with the grab him by scuffling there.
Yeah, he did. He did. But oh God, it was funny. It was it was interesting. But yeah, again, Brundle's only contracted, I think, for 18 races, 19 races. So
to me, that's a weird contract.
Yeah, it's I think the travel's just too much, man. Like the guy's in his 60s or 70s and you're traveling to 24 different races. It's a lot. Like even the teams have two sets of pit mechanics now because it's just too much.
Maybe they had the for McLaren, they had the people that
the bigger ones
that aren't paid off by Lando Norris's family.
You're right about the pit stops though, because it was flawless for McLaren. They had four pit stops that were perfect.
Yeah,
they're all. Oh, I think Lando's one of Lando's.
He got a 3.3.
Yeah, he did too. Sorry, but one it was finally Oscar got the the right end of the stick with that, because that's a rare. Definitely.
They pull Lando in first for the undercut.
Yeah, I know. I mean, naturally, they were going to do that. And you called that as well. You said, look, they have to do it because they're covering, Verstappen third place and stuff. So they had to do that. But yeah, they're just so scared of that situation again of, Hungary, last year when Lando didn't let Oscar back through and, really spoiled his first win. So
how good Sauber, though?
Yeah, man. Like Hülkenberg, fifth.
What a six, wild race.
Six real, fifth after the penalty.
That's fair enough.
Passing Hamilton. I mean,
who would have thought?
To even pass a driver in that race, you had to have like probably a second to a second and a half quicker per lap. Like that's the delta, to pass. And I mean, I don't know if that says more about Hülkenberg or more about Hamilton, but
maybe a bit of both.
Yeah. Kudos to him. I mean, Hamilton was on all the tires. I think Hülkenberg had a brand new set of softs, I think. But yeah, awesome. Like really, really good for him. So good for Sauber. I mean, a fifth place. I mean,
huge points for
them.
What's
that? Is that 10 points? I think it is. Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic for them when they struggled. I mean, 2 years ago, I think they scored once for the whole season, and that was Joe somewhere. So
in weirdly enough, in like a car's track.
Yeah.
With it's not like mixed conditions or anything.
It's a good sign. I mean, Bordoletto had his best qualifying of the year, and then Hülkenberg finished fifth. So it's good signs for them. Obviously, going to go to that be an Audi brand next year. But if they can get some good results, get up there. It's like funny though, isn't it, James? Because you can. It's like the opposite of AFL, because they have to go better to get better points, and then they get more in the salary cap or they get more money.
Mm.
Where they like tanking doesn't work.
Nah. No, you can't tank at all. Like you have to be better, but how do you get better when everyone else is also getting better?
Yeah, no, that's
like how do you bridge that gap? And that's kind of been an issue with Formula One.
Yeah.
Where like MotoGP, you've got concessions.
Yes.
Which completely works.
Now there are concessions in Formula One as well with wind tunnels. So the further you are down the grid, you get more wind tunnel time. Is something they do, but it is obviously more an advantage in MotoGP.
Well, because like in MotoGP, you've got massive gaps in teams. You've got Ferrari and Mercedes who can throw in McLaren millions of dollars, and then you've still got like a Haas. We can't throw the same amount of money, even if you've got concessions. Is that right?
Well, they've got a salary cap now.
Oh, okay,
so it has changed things. Now, of course, there's got to be ways around that.
It's cash on
the table. You got Uncle Tony working in the Alpha showroom, in Bologna.
Yeah.
He's developing a part for Ferrari, but he's not on the books.
Correct.
You know what I mean? There's got to be some sort of something.
Always
happening.
Is.
So, but in saying that, they actually will have an even salary cap, but they're always going to be. The big thing now is
resources as well, bro. Just resources. 100%. With bigger teams.
But the big thing is now is paying staff. I mean, the big thing now is spending money on the best engineer, the best car designer.
Adrian Newey.
Well, yeah. I mean, I might not be privy to this, but I'm not sure that is included in their salary cap. So,
yeah. But that's a big thing. Like, if it's not included in the salary cap, then bang.
Because I know, obviously, drivers aren't. Because you can't pay Lewis Hamilton $90 million a year. But it's good. It's a good thing for both sports because it bridges the gap and you can have then if you're left to them their own devices. It'll be the Ferrari and the Mercedes.
But that's been the issue of Formula One forever. It's only ever been like one team dominating at a time, where concessions in MotoGP is proof on how well it works. Like we've seen ebbs and flows of Honda being up there or Yamaha being up there. Now Ducati
what's
being
showing
dominating.
It this year. It's showing it this year how well it works.
Yeah, how good Yamaha and Honda are going now and all the improvement. And really, it's only been a few years. So like, it works. It's a lot more work for the teams, a lot more work for the mechanics, and a lot more flyways and testing. But it definitely shows that you have to do that. And I think they should do that with Formula One. Like, obviously they do into a way, to a degree, but a way where Formula One is like MotoGP. You could say in 10 years, KTM could be winning a MotoGP world title, right? You just don't know. But in Formula One, I could say in 10 years, Sauber's not going to be winning a title.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, they're always going to be mid-pack at best. They're not going to be the top six cars. And look, I just think those days are gone in Formula One. But it would be good if they got it to that point where you're like, man, Haas has got it right this year.
Yeah.
But I just don't think the money allows that.
We'll see. We'll wait and see next year who can nail these regs. But as I touched on earlier, it's I sound like Crofty now trying to like make it more exciting for next year, but we'll see.
I just don't think it's ever going to happen, not to be pessimist, but...
No, I mean, not to play devil's advocate. I think you're right in what you're saying, but I think that's something that may change coming into the future.
Also on the differences...
And they should be testing. There should be more testing for the lower teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you finish in the bottom three, you should get another testing day or something like that. That would be cool.
For sure. And it's also like, okay, I'm talking about KTM and just say like Aprilia.
KTM's not a good example.
Yeah, okay. But like Aprilia or Honda or Yamaha, whatever.
Yeah.
They're still full factory, where like a Williams isn't a full factory or like a Haas isn't a full factory. So like, that's like saying, oh, Tech 3 is going to win.
Dude, you know,
title.
Arguably McLaren, they build cars, very small amount of them, but like, they're arguably not full factory.
Yeah,
either.
I get what you're saying.
And Red Bull, obviously not a factory team.
They got
so much
money.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, because McLaren not only... obviously, they got backing from Bahrain, and McLaren is a car company, of course. But they're really a Formula One team. And that's how big this brand is now, you know? Like, Formula One is generating so much money that Red Bulls of the world and stuff can win championships. But... yeah, I see what you're saying as well, what you're touching on. It's always going to be those top dogs winning the championship.
I just don't think it's ever going to change.
Mm.
Maybe, who knows? Like, you know, we're seeing Cadillac and all these people coming in, Audi. Maybe things will change with like those other factories coming in.
But it might have been the other case in, say, 2009, for instance. You looked at, we're sitting here in 2009, you looked at the last 10 years of championship. McLaren, Ferrari, 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 Renault. And you got, oh my God, an independent team will never win. And then Red Bull won four in a row, you know?
Yeah. And you had a crazy Braun situation.
Like there are incidents over the years, but... yeah, I think there's just so much, like there's so much on the line, there's so much money. It's so important. There's so many eyes on the sport. So McLaren are going, well, we have $60 million for the F1 team this year. Well, hang on, no, it's fucking making 80% of our profit. We're going to put fucking $100 million. Like there would be that sort of scenario as well.
Remember, I think you said to me those years in Formula One between like 09, 10, 11, 12, 13 wasn't glory years for Formula One, as in there wasn't as many eyeballs on it. The money definitely wasn't there.
No, definitely. I mean, there was a scenario where it seemed like the bottom teams were poor teams, so they were just scraping by.
Bro, some of them didn't even have sponsors.
Yeah, like there was Manor F1 and like they Spana F1. They came in, they had no sponsorship. And nowadays, you're like, well, how the fuck does Williams only have two front wings? Like they would be so wealthy. They'd be making so much money off their merchandise, everything like that. Why are they running two front wings? But it's just how they do it, obviously. There's logistics, obviously, involved. But back then, I mean, 2012, the season in 2012 was like a glory year for the sport. But there wasn't many eyes on it. I mean, that's, you know, we always talk about this. We're sitting there on a Friday in Elwood Park and we were the only ones in the stands.
Yeah, definitely nowhere near as many eyeballs on it. Maybe it was maybe a bit different in like Europe. To a degree, but I still even think now, just everywhere, it's just up 3,000%.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, the world at the moment is not going through a financial crisis, but it's definitely things are tightening up.
Mm.
And they've got sellouts everywhere still, Formula One.
I know.
Like, they're going to get 500,000 people over the weekend at Silverstone. It's just, there's no sign of it slowing down.
Nah, not yet. Definitely not yet.
So
couldn't agree more.
MotoGP.
That's not slowing down. Bloody rumors everywhere.
Yeah, it is. Well, we touched on this, but silly season was supposed to be last year.
I know.
This is even sillier.
I know. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't get it. And then, like, okay, we've got the rumors with... we've got Jorge Martin coming out. We'll get to that. But then you've got all these rumors with Toprak. But the thing with Toprak...
I broke that a couple of weeks ago. No one listened to me, but...
You did break that a couple of weeks ago. But the thing with Toprak is there's all these rumors that have constantly come out about him. Where he's signed for factory
Yamaha.
This
is the strongest rumor ever, though.
There's Honda, and then there's Pramac Yamaha. But Keenan, I think it's Keenan Savoglu, who's his manager, who's known for doing this.
Well, Simon Patterson came out during the week and said it's him spreading the rumors. Yeah. But I think, again, when there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
And I think Simon Patterson's probably on the ball with that. But for me, I think it's so much. There's too much coming out of it now. It hasn't washed away. It's Primark, Primark, Primark.
Credible sources are talking about
big
it as well.
Big boy Campagnotti.
Yeah, our boy.
He wants a big name. He wants one.
Yeah, of course.
He wants one in the team. So, you know, I mean, we've got Jack, who's arguably going to be making way for him. I mean, I think Oliveira does. Anyway, it's a tough, hard discussion. And that's Europeans versus Australians right there. I mean, I think Jack was lucky to get another year anyway.
But he's the only other person besides obviously Quartararo doing anything on that Yamaha.
100%, yeah. Yep, 100%, I agree. But they're probably going to look at youth rather than, you know, someone who's a bit older.
Mm.
Jack will suit the superbike paddock. I think that more, you know, I'm going to say relaxed lifestyle as well in Europe he might appreciate. But, I mean, we're going to miss him in a MotoGP.
I think they're going to turf Oliveira.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Really? Yeah, okay.
That's what I think. I've got this gut feeling about it.
Yeah, right. I'm total opposite. I think Oliveira is going to stay. But
Campagnotti came out and talked about how much he loves Jack and wants him in the team.
Yeah, okay.
And look, they can just say that, obviously.
Mm.
So, but I think that's just a big thing to say.
Would you rather be...
He's fast.
Would you rather be in a second-rate superbike team or a MotoGP wild card rider who's a test rider for the year? That's a hard question.
Second rate superbike.
So you're not finishing in the top 10 superbikes?
So like out of the top 10s or
Michali
Pirro?
Well, yeah.
I'd rather be Michali Pirro every day of the week because you're getting paid a shit ton to develop the best bike, get to do all these cool like events,
yes,
and then still get to ride like 3 Grand Prix a year. Pirro all day with like no pressure.
So, Jack's rumored to go to Honda in the superbikes.
Yeah.
What's their team like?
That's a factory team. Full factory Honda team. Shit house.
You know what's happened? They've gone and spent all the budget on the MotoGP team, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. But, yeah, that's funny.
Their bike is shit house, been shit house forever. Bautista went from the Ducati V4 to that Honda, to take him to the promised land, did nothing for 2 years, came back and then won titles on that Ducati. Mm. It was just a waste. So, bro, it's, I don't know, he would be good for it if that does happen, but I would still obviously would much rather have him in like Primark Yamaha. But it's, yeah, I don't know, bro. There's so many rumors flying about.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Honda, what's going to happen there? Again, we talk about Martin. We briefly talked about it last week, but...
Released his statement saying, you know, he's got this clause. It was a bit of a cryptic statement, to be honest. Like, he didn't really give away much, but other than he can exercise his clause.
Yeah, it was a strange one. I mean, it's pretty much confirmed that he's leaving.
It's confirmed.
But it didn't say that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to start rumors here and say he might stay because very, very, very funny seeing him at that Aprilia ride.
I know.
Appreciation day.
There's so many comments saying he can get out of his Aprilia contract but can't get out of this appreciation day. That must have been a hard thing for him to go to. He must have had to put a brave face on the whole time.
Yeah, awkward.
Awkward.
And for the fans as well. And I didn't understand that. I think the fans or whoever was invited to that has probably promised that, the world champion's going to come to the event, buy tickets, blah, 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 contractually obligated to go. But... Geez, you'd almost just say, but don't bother coming. But
like the thing is, it's okay, what about, okay, he gets better in, say, 6 races time, 5 races time. It's going to be, how's he going to work with the bike? How's he going to develop the bike? Are they going to give him parts if he's just going to go to Honda or whatever? Like, how's this going to work? Like, this is so convoluted.
Yeah, it's so awkward.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, is he not going to race for the rest of the year? Is he just going to take a hiatus? Like, is that what's going to happen? Because... He's in this Aprilia. He says he doesn't want to be there. He's exercising his clause, which obviously it's in the contract he can do, but it's just like a shit way of doing it in the situation of the crash and his injury.
Yeah.
Like he hasn't given a go. Obviously, Aprilia are definitely not happy. They're spending all this money on him and he wants to get out. So then, okay, if there's just, say, 10 rounds left, are they going to put him back on the bike for what? Are they going to develop the bike around him and give him all this information?
Yeah.
Are they just going to go backwards because of it? Because it just seems like out of this whole situation, they're just going to go backwards.
I feel so sorry for Aprilia in this situation.
Bro.
Because they've done nothing, really nothing wrong. Like, he hasn't even had a chance on the bike. So he can't say that he hates the bike. The bike's nowhere. Again, as Joey touched on in our pod a couple of nights ago, yes, Silverstone was so out of the spectrum of a result for them, and obviously the bike's not performing. But Aigura came out at the start of the season, was performing on it. And it has some sort of capability.
Of course, it has.
And they're paying him a shitload. You know, they've got him there, and then he's just gone, nah, I don't want to be here. And then who do they find next year? I mean, who do they find to fill his shoes? I mean, Aiguru obviously is the candidate to go into that team, but they just don't have a clear superstar in there.
I don't know. I think Bastianini would ride that bike for free.
Yeah.
he wants out of that KDM situation bad.
Bastianini and Bezzecchi, is there a bit of tension there, or is it...
Nah, I think they're all good.
Yeah, La Familia.
La Familia, mate. La Familia. So, but like, that's the thing. Like, I think it's such an awkward situation of Jorge Martin and what's going to happen. And then, okay, it sounds like he's going to go. He's gone. He's already checked out. He shouldn't even be almost riding for the rest of the season. Like, it's just a shit show. Who's going to fill that spot? Again, like, this is such a silly season. Like, do they punt? You know, is Acosta wants out, all right? Is this so crazy we're talking about this, by the way? Acosta wants out, Martin wants out. Do they just punt both HRC riders and one of them goes to a, you know, whatever bike, I don't even know, and a Aprilia, like...
Yeah, I've gone on record to say this. I think there's no possible way that Martin would have done this right now without already signing a contract. I think he has already signed on the dotted line for Honda and it's done.
Yeah, right. Or what about like a verbal handshake agreement?
Well, I mean, there's rumors out there you can't sign this early or something.
Probably like a legality.
Someone was saying. But like for me, I mean, there's some sort of... He can't go out and go, I'm done.
Bro, of course. I'm out.
Without having some sort of guarantee for next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he might not be... He'll be without a ride.
Alicia Spargo, bro. He's fucking whispering in Alberto Puig's ears at night.
He goes, oh, I'll sign it for you, buddy. I'll sign it for you. Done, sign.
You know? They're in bed together.
Yeah, I know. And it's proved. It's 100%. We posted that clip and everyone agreed.
But like the hate on Espargaro and Martin right now. Like we don't even know. And to be fair, we don't even know the situation. We don't know what's been said. We don't know what's happened.
Yes.
But the hate on them, I don't think is fair because we don't know what the truth is. But it's just like
there's a lot of angry people.
And like just as Martin as a fan, he's lost a lot of people, man.
Lost a lot of respect. Yeah.
I've never seen a situation like it. I know we've harped on about it for a long time now, but name me another time where this has happened.
Yeah, it's like, crazy. Mid-season and
just, you know, with the circumstances.
And injured.
Bro, not even mid-season, man. I know. Not even mid-season.
I know. He's done 14 laps on the bike and crashed.
And then half a grand, like three quarters of a Grand Prix.
Half a Grand Prix and then 14 laps, you know, in testing. And he wants out to go to the team that has been fucking nowhere the past 3 years. Like, absolutely nowhere.
Correct.
I know.
But they're going to pay him a boatload of money. Yeah. So that has to be a part of it as well.
Bro, it has to be. I'm telling you, and we had this conversation with Danby the other day, and it's like fucking talking to a blank fucking whiteboard.
Yeah.
He's done. It's signed. Has to be. I'm telling you.
There's something there. It's either not signed or there's a verbal agreement. Scumpting. There's something.
He's not going to go, oh, I'll sit out next year. There's no way.
Of course
He'd rather
not.
Be on that Aprilia than sitting out. So yeah. There's no way he would have done that without some sort of contract. I'm telling you.
As you agree.
So for me, he's not going back to, you know, he's not going back to Ducati. Some miracle that, you know, Bagnaia goes somewhere, but I don't see that happening. I think Alex Marquez is probably the candidate anyway. So for me, that's not happening. He's not going to go to Yamaha. Will he go back? Would he go back to Primark? Probably not, because it's not a factory team. He wanted to be in a factory team.
Yeah, after all that.
He's tried Aprilia. So what else has he got left? He's not going to go to KDM.
He's already burnt KDM.
Yeah.
The only option is Honda. It's going to happen. We know that.
It's going to happen. Process of elimination.
I still think it's going to be a Martin Acosta full factory lineup. I think they're going to make that work. And like people can go contract. Contracts don't mean shit.
James, is going to be a situation where T. Shav is going to be a Honda fan if that happens. Because that'd be cool to see.
Mate, I don't think I'd ever see the day you're
Acosta
a Honda
and Martin in a factory team with them coming back. That's exciting.
Okay.
Hang on. Hang on. What's happened? I think this hat has done it all. That's what's happened. This is what's happened, James.
Listen to our 10-point
bro,
plan.
Bro, I want to go back to it. You know what we're going to do in the off season in December? We're going to do a Patreon and we're going to go back to our 10-point plan.
Yeah.
And we're going to tick off, I bet you, 9 out of the 10 things. Apart from probably Mick Doohan coming back and running the team.
Memory.
Which they've done.
Yeah, no, you're not far off. You know? I'm telling you, you're not far off.
So,
they've basically moved the headquarters to Europe.
Basically.
But like, I as a just say as a fan, and I was on this pod and maybe trying to speak for the fans if I can, is if I was I wouldn't be going for Martin on a Honda. Like I don't, like, it just burns me. It still burns me.
Yeah.
That like he left, and like I'm Mr. Honda. I love HRC. I'm Mr. Honda Yakamoto.
Well, let's wait for the full story. It was
exactly. You got to wait for the full story. I'd love to see Acosta go there and do well.
You know what they say? There's his side of the story, her side of the story, and then the truth in the middle.
Yeah, I love that. Still, I'm right, but.
So we'll see what happens. It's exciting. It's, you know, blockbuster stuff. It's Hollywood. Oh,
it's great. It's great for us to
it's
talk
Hollywood.
About.
It's everything in between.
Bro, I've had this conversation so many times with so many different people. People ask, like, picking my brain about the situation.
Yeah. It was like today about, what did you think of Max? Yeah. You know, it's the number one thing on everyone's lips. I mean, it's exciting for the motorsport is, you know, geez, it's becoming a big thing now in Australia. It's huge. Motorsport is massive. There's a guy came in the other day. He's a big... big footy, like loves AFL. He goes, oh, I've gone AFL this year. I'm all about F1. Jeez. It's all I'm watching is F1. Oscar, I'm back on the Oscar. I'm on the Oscar bandwagon.
Yeah.
It's incredible what it's doing.
It's crazy.
It's only getting better.
It's only getting better. Bagnaia, there's all these rumors for some reason for him in the factory Yamaha.
LCR. Grassini.
Allegedly. Start it. He's going. Lock it in.
Yeah.
Factory hell. Yamaha, Bagnaia. He wants it out of Ducati, apparently. I don't know, bro. It's all just craziness. I don't think that's going to happen.
But who's going to be in a factory Yamaha next year?
Has Rins still got a contract?
Well, but Rins is gone. If he's in a factory Yamaha, I'll strike. I'll strike in the front of Dorna headquarters.
Hey, Curdy, are you able to look up when Alex Rins... I cannot see him behind those lights. Can you...
I think he's asleep.
Can he hear us?
No, he can't. No, he's out. I'm telling you. He's not coming.
Curdy. Can you look up if when Alex Rins's contract runs out for factory Yamaha,
please?
Because
the contracts mean shit all anyway.
I know. But
he's gone. I'm telling you.
If anyone's going to survive a contract, it's him.
Yeah, true. I mean, all Morbidelli.
It's like putting down a puppy. That doesn't happen.
But for me, it's...
Or Morbidelli.
But for me, it's... I know. You can't run the biggest... One of the biggest brands in the world in MotoGP. You cannot run a... You can't run an Alex Rins as a second. He's done, unfortunately.
Gone.
Okay, so...
Even though he follows us off.
He signed an extension with Factory Yamaha in 2024 August, so it'll end in 2026.
Oh, yeah. So he's still got next year. Thanks, Curdy.
End of 26.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing. He'll be the test rider.
I don't know, bro. Like, maybe his body might not be able to handle it. He's obviously, like, it sucks to see. He's just one of those riders, bro, where, like, injuries have just hurt him.
Yeah, I know.
And that Bins. Just shows...
Alex Bins.
That just shows...
He should have won that 2020 championship.
100%. Sure. But it just shows that how dangerous MotoGP still is and can be.
Yeah.
Bro, Aragon's coming up this weekend.
Yep.
Is it just a... I feel like we're actually a bit of a jinx to Marquez because every time we say he's going to win, he crashes. But is it a foregone conclusion? He's gone Juan.
Well, if Juan won the Formula One, no, it's going to be Ducati, top six. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Yes, he'll win. And he's going to pull 0.4 seconds on that left hander in the back of before the back of the straight.
You know who's a sneaky for that place? Alex Marquez. People forget he got like a second on that Repsol Honda.
Taka Nakagami as well, pole.
Yep, what happened? Second corner.
God, I got scared from Marquez.
he got boo. That's what happened.
I do see Yamaha. I mean, there's some tight twisty points in that circuit, but like there's two massive long straights together, then a braking that left hander.
Great last section,
it's
Aragon.
It's a great circuit.
Mm.
Pain in the ass to get to though, that's for sure.
Where do you see like a Bagnaia doing that round? You see him podium?
Fourth, third, maybe. You know, it's gonna be Marquez.
I reckon Aldeguer is gonna be up there. Yeah. I got a sneaky on Aldeguer this week.
Home race for him.
I 100% got a sneaky.
Mm.
But Mark Marquez, I think, is just going to be the man. They destroyed everyone there last year on a dirty track. We all know that.
Oh, I remember that. That was cool.
And just absolutely obliterated everyone. But I just can't see him not just winning everything there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, hot takes, Jimmy boy.
Let's do it. Andrew Edzar. At Andrew Edzar. He
42.
Put two in. He messaged us and it was just one of the ones I saw, which is great. Red Bull screwed Max twice in two corners. Better to stay out under safety car with his race tires rather than throwing new hards at it for six laps.
Yeah, we spoke about that. I tend to agree. I think the stats show that. Or they probably should have put on those softs. But again, hindsight is a wonderful thing.
He should have never been told to give that place up to George. He lunged pretty deep into turn one and never made the pass. The pit wall got it completely wrong and it fell apart from there. It fell apart when they put those hards
on. Yeah, no,
it
did fall apart. Yeah, 100%.
At Brixie? Brisky?
Oop.
Landon? I think that means Lando. Landon can't handle the heat if he's not on pole. So, this actually leads me to my question and I actually haven't asked you yet, funny enough. I tend to kind of agree with that as in he does. I think this is a mental thing going into the first
corner. I don't think his racecraft and his lack of a better term passing ability is as good as most drivers on the grid.
Or Piastri's.
Yeah.
Which is like evident when it was, what race was it where he got around Verstappen. It took him like three laps, kind of worked Verstappen out. It took Lando like 10, 12 laps.
Yep.
Miami or something. I can't remember. Anyway, is Max Verstappen...
It was Miami.
Yeah, good. This is my question for you. Is Max Verstappen the GOAT at the first corner?
He's pretty good.
I just don't remember anyone being just so clean but ruthless at the same time in the first corner. Because as well, he does psych drivers out. And I think Rosberg was talking about that. He's been listening to our pod. We spoke about that a month ago.
He said that in the post-qualifying session. He goes, I'll be sending it up the outside or the inside. Doesn't matter. Like, he's already got them spooked.
He does.
And you saw Lando going to their first turn. He was so easy on the brakes because he goes championship.
Yeah.
But to McLaren's credit, man, like they have such a faster car. I'd do the same. I'd take it easy to go into the first corner. Yes, it didn't work for Piastri and Imola, obviously, going around the outside. But, you know, that's a different kettle of fish because it was so hard to pass. But
is he the best on the first corner?
Hamilton was very good back in his day.
That's a big praise.
I remember him going around the outside of two drives in Australia in his very first race. And it was like a wow moment, you know, like this kid's arrived, you know. He's nowhere near as... He was clumsy, Hamilton, some spots. Like he was clumsy with Albon a couple of times that season when he was driving in for Red Bull. Clumsy in somehow in those battles, but nowhere near as aggressive and ruthless as Verstappen. Nowhere near.
I like it. Good take. Yard_guitars. Hamilton will break his contract early and retire.
Oh, Tisha, you've been listening to the pod. Yes. I think so. I think you know, this goes on to my hot take that I'm going to speak about in a second. That, yeah, I think that'd be probably the best thing for him, which is, it's hard to say. I mean, he's a champion and needs to bow out as a champion. If he has a terrible year and then a terrible next year, that's what we're going to remember him by.
Yep, I like it. At Matt WI93, give Jet Lawrence a year on a GP bike and he would be quicker than Chandra. Would be far off, I reckon. Nah, Chandra's still good. Okay. At tomshav.mr, Hamilton done, you know, making hot takes all about yourself, bro. I like it.
Yeah, well, you know, gotta give the fans what they want.
Hamilton done more career damage going for this 8 World Drivers Championship instead of bowing out after 7?
So I'm gonna just talk about hot takes first. Very hard to fit the hot take into those characters. I was wondering why people have it very short all the time.
Yeah,
it doesn't give you a lot of words you can put. So I had to really shorten that. So, yeah,
ChatGPT shorten it to 50 characters.
No, I should have done that.
Go on.
This is a hot take to shout out from Isaac, who is one of my sales guys at work, and he asked, you know, has Hamilton done more damage to his career going for his 8th world title than bowing out at 7? And look, asking around, talking to people today, it seems to be it.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he bowed out after that 21 season, I think if he won 21, he might have done it like Rosberg did. But yeah, 22, 23, 24, 25. I mean, he's into his fourth year. Doesn't look like he's going to be anywhere near a world championship ever again. And why is he doing it, James? Why is he going around? Why is he continuing?
The ego. It is. And it's probably all, like, for a driver, that's all he would know. Think about that. He's done it his whole life. That's all he would know. It must be pretty full on for everything you've done for your whole life, then it just stops.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a really confronting thing.
I just don't see him going into, like, other categories either. I don't see him, like...
as, like, a Le Mans driver? Yeah. No, either.
It's funny, and he's never done it. Like, he's never even talked about it. Never heard him ever...
like, rally?
Anything. Like, it's weird. He's, like, Formula One, and that's it. Like, and to a certain extent, his private life is really private. We really don't know what he gets up to. We see him at those gala balls and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It actually led me down the rabbit hole, this question, because these older drivers just don't seem to handle these new generation cars as well. Like, you had a look at, you know, the Vettels of the world. He was dominating in that 2010. Is it age? Is it the cars are just completely different to how they drove back in the day? Alonso talks about that all the time. I don't like how these cars drive. I like them way better back when, you know, in the middle of the 2000s and 2010s, 11s, 12s. And it's just interesting going to these ground effects cars. I mean, it just doesn't suit their style, that old style. It's all a young guy's game now. So.
Bro, it's like they get bought up on those older style cars. Race those older style cars. And that's no different to anything. It's just a young person's game. You're always going to go over the hump.
Yeah.
And things are going to develop. And they're going to develop at such a fast rate where you guys can't keep up. You don't grow up with it. It's like, for an analogy, it's like people growing up racing two strokes. They're only used to racing two strokes, and then they're going to jump on the four strokes, and it's like, what the hell is going on? And
engine,
it's the same
engine
thing.
Braking.
Yeah, and it's the same thing of like racing a V10 or a V8 and then going to this hybrid system. It's so different.
Yeah, it's interesting with like these ground effects cars. I mean, you got Piastri, third year in Formula One, and just dominating the sport.
It's all he knows. He's a blank canvas where you've got guys that have been refueling back in the day.
Because if you put Piastri and Hamilton in a similar car, Piastri's coming out in front.
But Hamilton, to be fair, has adapted pretty well from 2008 was his first season?
Yeah, 2007.
2007, all the way to 2021, 2022.
Yeah.
He's done pretty well, man.
Yeah.
Better than anyone else,
yeah.
100%. And Valentino adapted for a long time. Bro, he raced 500cc Grand Prix bikes and was competitive all the way up until like 2019, let's say.
2019, yeah. But it's a similar career path between those two, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just like, you know, young teen sensation. Then in the middle of their careers, won all their championships. Well, actually, Rossi probably won all his championships when he was younger.
Younger.
But
his last title was 2009, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Wild. So, similar career path and then just stayed on a little bit too long. But I'm probably going to get some hate from that.
That's not uncommon, man. No. I think if that's all
it's more uncommon doing the opposite, going out on top like Rosberg.
1,000,000%. If that's all you know, it would be so daunting trying to leave.
You should get that as a catchphrase for you.
Go on.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, I do like to say it.
The thing is... All right, go on.
That's why I'm on podcast, mate. I make my own catchphrases. At Desmo_1299.
Oh, who's this?
It's Dave Shaw.
Oh, it is too.
Superbike. Do you think Max is showing signs of frustration and patience? It seems like there are cracks forming.
Oh, well done, Dave Boss. Yeah, I think...
Had to coach him through how to put a hot take in today.
Well, I think for me, as you touched on, James, in this podcast at the start, you said... It all started when they put the wrong tires on. It put him in that mood, you know, where he made that slight mistake going onto the front straight. Then he collided actually with Leclerc on the front straight, which is another... We haven't even spoken about that. And then we have the first turn incident. So it's just levels of frustration going forward.
The tires kicked it off though.
The team go, no, give the place back. Guys, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Gave the place. No, I'm not giving it back. Bang, gone, and then race over, pretty much.
But like, imagine being a fly on the wall and he finds out that he didn't even have to give the place back after all that.
Ugh, I know. But actually, you know what? That helps Verstappen so much because it gives Red Bull that guilt of, we fucked up here. Not, oh my God, Max, you're crazy. What the fuck have you done?
What have they done?
It's gone. A lot of people would be blaming Red Bull, which is crazy. But a lot of people would be blaming Red Bull for what Max did.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Not me.
No, we're
not hyperfixating here too much.
Yeah, but you got to massage a driver.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially
like,
when they're driving.
They're robotic sometimes, you know, like, you know, so.
But they can be, like, Max, hot-headed, you got to massage
so hot-headed,
At Jordan 9.
Like, narcissistic. personality traits. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like, that's
you got to be.
That's it. Yeah. It's me, you know, I'm the best.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else is not, you know.
Team's wrong. Yeah. I know what's going on.
Correct. So that's where you have to manage that. And you should know that, you know, by now.
They should know that with him.
Yeah.
Dude's been racing for him for like 8 years.
Yeah. Well, 100%. Yeah.
100%. It's coming off.
A million percent. A
million percent.
Yeah.
Jordan9_X. Isle of Man is boring to watch. Only exciting in person. Not enough POV cams.
That's
a shit house take, I think. I was actually watching all the highlights
but dude,
last night.
This is amazing. What my frustration is. Can someone tell me, Tom, this is when it starts, this is when it finishes?
No one can tell me that.
No one can.
Nah, I'm with you there.
Oh, Tom, 9 p.m. tonight, the Superbike race is on. Sweet. Oh, you can't watch it. It doesn't happen like that.
I think it's like 2 a.m. for us.
It's how is it 2 a.m. though? How is it 2 a.m. in England? That doesn't make sense. They don't race at night. It should be on at the same time as MotoGP. It should be on earlier. It should be on like 7 p.m.
I don't know. Like, 7 p.m. is early.
7 p.m. is 11 a.m.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there has to be racing on there.
That makes
sense.
Right. Why can't I watch it? I have to watch it like 4 weeks after for some weird reason.
Yeah, you're right. We just can't watch it here. I was watching on YouTube, bro.
Bro, Foxtel is like premium like sport all the time and I can't watch it live.
Yeah, but Foxtel's like retarded of some stuff. You know that.
So yes, I mean, no, I don't agree with what he's saying.
That's shit-ass take.
But I get what you're saying. Like, just tell me when I have to tune in to watch it and I'll watch it. No one can tell me.
No, that's a completely separate take.
Yeah.
For sure. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't agree saying it's when you're watching it, it's boring. Because I think it's fucking crazy.
I want to watch it live though. Far out.
Everything's better live. You're right.
Yeah.
We should look into this.
Whoa, dude, just... if someone can just tell me, Tom, tune in at 9 p.m. on Fox Sports 5 and you'll be able to watch it. Sweet. No worries. But it doesn't work like that.
Derek Hall. Is Toprak stealing a seat or is this a good thing for the sport?
Nah, good thing for the sport, man.
Yeah, great. 100%.
Yeah. This is awesome. He's going to bring such a flair, talent. Like, he's arguably the most talented on that Superbike grid. He needs to be MotoGP. He needs to at least give it a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so good. It's always good to see Superbike guys come over.
Yeah, it is.
And vice versa as well.
We haven't seen it for a long time. Like, I want to...
Bro, like James Tozen or someone was the last one to do it.
Give the guy... give the guy a chance. It's not going to be straight away, but... You got to give him a chance.
Yeah, different tires as well.
And how much is that? You know, the eyes on Primark, the merchandise they're going to sell. It all goes with that kind of stuff. You know, it's all intertwined.
Yeah.
Good for the sponsors.
Good for the sponsors. Yeah. Makes money. You need that. You need any just a bit of personality, a bit of flair, as you said.
Yeah.
At Lukey Kappa, Max to take a year off, do some side quests, and rejoin F1 in 2027.
Interesting. They're saying that because he thinks. A lot of people are saying, we don't know what's going to happen next year. I think everyone's thinking that the Red Bull isn't going to be too fast. That's what my opinion is. So him for taking a year off, he's going to go, well, who's got the best car?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go there. Because he can probably go wherever he wants.
And everyone will open a seat for him.
100% they would.
Yeah.
Everyone will. And no one has, realistically in 27, no one has two set drivers. Because you look at Mercedes, Antonelli and Russell, one of them can go. Ferrari, Hamilton's going to retire. You know, you look at McLaren, I think Lando is going to, if Piastri wins a championship, he's going to get itchy to go, you know? So that's going to be the interesting thing. The only place where it will be probably difficult for Max would be to McLaren because he might not suit that team, but, you know, they'll still open a door for him, I think. I think you have to sign Max Verstappen if he's on offer.
Yep, I agree. At Will Fairweather, F1 needs to keep purpose-built tracks or pre-DTS fans will start leaving the sport. I think it doesn't matter. You follow the money and the DTS fans are the ones bringing in all the money.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I agree that I want to keep like purpose-built tracks. I'm not saying Barcelona. I don't think that's a great track for Formula 1, but like a Silverstone or a Spa or going back to like Nürburgring, Nürburgring, something like that. Great tracks. But the DTS fans, like it or not, are the ones bringing in all the money. That's why we had 430,000 people, whatever, through the gates through Albert Park.
450. Yeah. I tend to agree. It's I think I haven't got a problem with street circuits. I just want them to be to have passing opportunity. And you spoke about that. You need to have a very long straight, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. But Miami seems to always produce good racing. That hasn't got, you know, that hasn't got a massive passing opportunity, but it seems to produce good racing, which you wouldn't think about that when you looked at the track.
Is it just undercuts and things like that?
Yeah,
like
undercuts, tyres, that sort of thing. It proved on the weekend that an abrasive track does make it slightly more exciting. Happened in Bahrain as well, as we get reminded about taking Bahrain surface and putting it everywhere in the world. I don't know, but you need to have those classic tracks. You're right. You need to have the Spa-Francorchamps. You need to have...
Got
to
have a bit of older than new.
Even Bahrain for me is like almost a classic track. They've been going there for 21 years now.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
So for me, like that's a classic track. I love watching Bahrain. I think it's a great circuit for Formula One.
Go back to the day, overheat.
Yeah, exactly. during the day, yeah. Sao Paulo, like an F1 season is not an F1 season without Sao Paulo.
Correct.
You know, that is it's such a simple circuit. You know, it's got
the go-kart track, bro.
It's got, two little, like, it's got a couple left-handers, a couple little hairpins and a long straight. Great track, always great racing. But, there's tracks on the calendar nowadays, and that Madrid Grand Prix looks a bit soulless and lifeless.
I was going to say, what's the most soul? You took the words out of my mouth. What's the most soulless track on the grid right now? On the calendar, I should say.
As in?
Just a track that you think has got no soul, no hype, like... Yeah, even if the racing's maybe good or whatever you did, but it just doesn't have it.
I think Budapest for me doesn't have it anymore.
Wow.
I'm not a huge fan of that track. I'm not a huge fan of Yas Marina, but I think it's the last race of the season. There's so many good memories there. So for me, it's on the calendar. They've just started a redevelopment of the Budapest track, but only the facilities, not the track, which is unfortunate. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, you look at China, but it's a good circuit.
That's a bit soulless.
Yeah, it's a little bit soulless. Qatar for me, it's not a bad. It's just not an F1 track.
Yeah, it's a good one
for me. It's not an F1 circuit, but it's kind of exciting. I love to see them go back to Portugal. It was cool when they went there in the COVID years.
Mm.
That's a cool track. I love that track. But I'm gonna say probably Budapest. Budapest for me is probably the one that I don't think has a lot of. It's got a little bit of history, but you can't pass on the track. It's not for me. It's not. It's just not an exciting one to watch, I suppose.
I like it,
but everything else is pretty good. I think the calendar is really well balanced. I really do. I'm like the end of the season's exciting. Obviously, they go to the warmer tracks because of the time of the year. Las Vegas is always one to.
That's always a good one.
But I mean, like you look at the next four Grand Prix, James. This is like creme de la creme. You got Canadian Grand Prix, which is a great circuit.
Great
always
track.
Produces good racing. Austria, the A1, the old A-Run ring, the Red Bull ring. Great track, simple track.
Great
But always produces good racing. Then you got Silverstone.
Historic.
One of the best, historic, best calendar, best races on the calendar, the most amount of people.
And like I think the ultimate Formula One track.
Yeah, and then you've got Belgium, Spa-Francorchamps.
Which is also the ultimate Formula One track.
Yeah, so, yeah.
OG four tracks right there.
I'm not a huge fan of the Dutch track. I think it's the last one.
Zandvoort.
I think it's the last year for that this year
as
well.
Yeah, it's not great.
So, yeah.
Last one, then we're heading over to our Patreon, at Matt Stevens, OG Pod Fave. Verstappen and Hadjar to Aston Martin 2027 to go on a run of domination.
27?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. That's 2 years' time, I suppose. Yeah,
2 years' time. Big dog.
I don't know where the Hadjar connection would be for Aston. I think he's going to be in the Red Bull family for a while, but... Yeah, I definitely see Max in green before he retires.
I like it. Mate, thank you.
Thank you.
Great awesome. Pod as always. Yep. Let's head over to our Patreon. When this gets released, which is normally a Tuesday morning Aussie time, Patreon will be released a couple days normally after. Sign up for that.
Yes.
Listen to that.
Yes.
We're going to be dissecting our month's worth of racing in F1, MotoGP. Tommy's excited. We're going to tell us who's our performer of the month, who's nowhere in the month.
Yes. And if you've watched this and then you've subscribed to Patreon, paid us the $10 a month, which we really appreciate, and then you watch Patreon and then you go, oh, I really feel like a bit more Tom and James. Watch the pod from a couple of nights ago with the bros. It's a really good one. It's kind of fun. Listen to it.
A bit of a different take.
There's three superbike in the superbike paddock. They're young, dumb and full of... over and out from the track.
See you guys.